The Catholic Church's handling of child abuse allegations against its clergy has been slammed in a damning report released by the Royal Commission yesterday. The Royal Commission into the Institutional Responses to Childhood Sexual Abuse has found that the Catholic Church's handling of the charges against its priests were plagued by conflicts of interest, inconsistencies, and that an independent commissioner actively discouraged victims from reporting their crimes to the police. This is all part of the so-called Melbourne response, the process adopted by the Archdiocese of Melbourne to respond to victims of sexual abuse by priests, religious and laypersons within the Archdiocese. The Royal Commission's indictment of that process was released, along with its report into the redress and a process for civil litigation over alleged sexual abuse. Dr. Vivian Waller is a lawyer. She spent the last 20 years working with victims of sexual abuse at the hands of Catholic clergy. Vivian Waller, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
If I can start by getting your reaction to the findings from the Commission of the Church's response in the Melbourne Diocese, the so-called Melbourne response. It's a pretty damning report. How bad is it, in your view, this Melbourne response, and would you like to echo the findings of the Commission?
Look, it's a careful report and it's considered all of the evidence, but there's no doubt that it is incredibly damning of the Melbourne response, which was Pell's own initiative. He set up that scheme in contrast to the rest of the country that the Catholic institutions went with towards healing. He went with the Melbourne response, and there's no doubt that the Royal Commission has criticised that to a very large extent.
Well, its criticism was quite clear. It basically found it lacked independence, didn't it? And that it often didn't really offer help to the victims, but really, in some kind of veiled way, tried to provide protection for the Catholic Church. The Melbourne response was supposed to provide an opportunity for people to seek compensation from the Church. It was meant to provide victims with independent advice, but the Commission has discovered that that advice, in the end, was far from independent. The Church's own solicitor was giving advice to victims. Really, how did they get away with that?
Well, look, it was the first scheme of its kind, but clearly it's deeply flawed, and it has been criticised by various commentators over a long period of time. So perhaps the question is, how did they get away with it for so long? It pretends to be an independent scheme. All of its advertising material says it's independent, but in fact it's not. The same solicitor who defends the Archdiocese of Melbourne in civil litigation is the same solicitor who is involved in all aspects of the Melbourne response. So although creating the impression of independence, it's called there are commissioners which conveys a sense of independence. In fact, they're all deeply flawed by design problems in the Melbourne response.
And it was designed by Cardinal George Pell. He will appear again before the Commission in November around the Church's handling of sexual assault in Ballarat. How does this finding, this clear conflict of interest, is what the Commission found, how's that going to impact, do you think, on Cardinal Pell's evidence?
Well, Cardinal Pell will be asked a number of questions about that, and I think, let's hope that the Melbourne response is actually dead in the water. I don't think it can be resuscitated. They are currently undergoing a review of the Melbourne response initiated by the Archdiocese of Melbourne. That review hasn't yet handed down its findings, but it might need to be back to the drawing board so that the person who's conducting the review can actually take on board these quite extraordinary criticisms of the Melbourne response.
Vivian, thanks to the Royal Commission, many of us now know of Christine and Anthony Foster, and two of their daughters were sexually abused by the parish priest. They gave evidence, traumatic evidence, to the Commission on their experience of trying to seek justice for their daughters. They said that the Church was dismissive of their concerns. In a sense, you got a sense that was re-traumatised, this process of talking to the Church. You've spoken to the Fosters after this report from the Commission was released. What was their reaction?
They're on holidays in Northern Australia, but I did manage to catch them by phone last night. They do feel vindicated by the report, and particularly the Royal Commission's indication that they accept Christine Foster's evidence about the somewhat callous remarks made to them by George Pell. Her evidence was that he said, if you don't like what we're doing, take us to court. And her evidence was that he said to her, it's all gossip until it's proven in court, and I don't listen to gossip. And the Royal Commission has said that it's satisfied that the Cardinal has made those remarks. So Chrissy and Anthony, you know, sadly they lost their daughter Emma, and their other daughter had a large struggle with substance abuse issues and is now disabled. So it's a great relief for them, but they are very gracious people, and immediately their next question to me was, what's in the report about redress? We're concerned about what's coming for other survivors and how we're going to solve this problem.
Well, let's go to that now in the time we have left. It's 20 minutes to nine. We're speaking with lawyer Dr. Vivian Waller. The Commission's released a report into redress and civil litigation. One recommendation is to remove the statute of limitations for matters of childhood sexual abuse to allow people to bring a case to the courts, even though it may be a long time ago. Is that a good idea, and how many people do you think will that assist?
That's a critically important idea, given that we know that it's very difficult for people who were sexually abused as children to disclose the abuse, because they're often harmed by a person in position of trust or authority over them. So, you know, we understand that there's a long delay in disclosure. The Royal Commission found that having limitation periods is really just not appropriate for sexual assault matters, and so they recommend that limitation periods be abolished, and that they're abolished retrospectively. So one would imagine there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of people who would now have some chance at litigating their matters.
And just very briefly, the Commission did recommend, laid out a redress scheme, which would put a $4 billion pot of money there available, 30% of that to be made available for the government. The government has so far indicated it's not too keen on a redress scheme, but how critical is it that the government leads this?
Look, it is critical that we get a positive response from government. That redress scheme would deliver an average of $65,000 to someone who has been injured. It's got a maximum of $200,000, but it's only for the most seriously harmed. It's really important that we get the redress scheme, but more importantly, that's got to go hand in hand with fundamental law reform in each state and territory, because people need to have the option of pursuing their common law rights, particularly for those far more serious matters where the redress scheme might be insufficient.
Okay, Vivian Waller, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Fran.
Dr. Vivian Waller, she's a lawyer, has worked with victims of sexual abuse at the hands of the Catholic clergy for more than 20 years.